Hi, I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is
Book of Lies,
the podcast, where we discuss liars, cheats, and thieves,
scammers, and dirty, rotten scoundrels.
So tune in for new episodes every Tuesday to hear about another low-down, dirty liar.
And learn how to spot them.
So that's Book of Lies podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast player or on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram at Book of Lies Podcast, and on Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast.
And if you want to send us an email, send us one at bookoflies podcast@gmail.com.
Okay?
Bye-bye!
Welcome to Ben Nobs and Broom Flicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our favorite familiars. I'm just going to pretend that we're doing it all the time now. witches and history. Sorry, this show will include spoilers, but... I'd say you've been warned, but dude, this came out in 1986.
and it's hard to find.
It is so hard to find. Yeah, it's not streaming anywhere right now. So I'm sorry.
Legally, it's not streaming anywhere legally right now, we should say.
We totally watched it in a legal fashion.
Yes. 100% legal fashion.
My attorney tells me that I must say this up front.
You know, we would totally watch it in 100% different legal fashions if it was put back up for legal fashions.
I'm surprised that HBO doesn't have it streaming because apparently it was a made-for-TV movie that aired on HBO. So anyway, before we get to that, okay, so my name is Linda, but you can call me Cheese Aggie. Oh man, that's terrible.
You sound like one of my like tunes from WoW. Because everything started with like chi. And then after that it just kind of expanded from there. I was like, did you just name one of my WoW tunes? Man, that takes me back. And my name is Jane, but you can call me Professor Soft Mop.
the wicked sister of Hard Broom.
Or the nice one, if you think about it. I thought of that one earlier today. I was like, what's my name going to be? And I was like, Soft Mop.
I guess my name, going with this, like the theme of like the obvious character names in this, I guess
Cheezackle. I would be... Sorry.
I was thinking Linda Cheese Mold. Or some weird shit like that. Yes, that's right. We are covering the 1986 original made for TV film. The Worst Witch. Yay!
Hard as hell to find. And they've made other versions. Like they've made a series. They've made another movie. There's obviously the book series to start out with, which I think we're going to have to read because...
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Unless those are out of print because...
No, actually, oddly enough, let's see. They were... Okay, so there's an 8-book series and... their published dates span from 1974 with the first one to 2018. And it's just 8 books. So I guess she took her sweet time.
Well, we know about authors who take their sweet time. So we both have our individual authors who are taking their sweet, sweet, sweet time.
Get
so
on
we understand.
It. yes.
I just kind of meditate going like, it will get finished. It will get finished. Just don't get COVID. It will get finished.
Yes. Like, Name of the Wind is going to conclude. It will conclude. It will conclude. I may totally forget everything that happened by the time it comes out, but.
Well, then you get a chance to reread the whole thing.
Oh my God, it's such a long series. Well, the books are so long.
Oh, I know. My husband has both tomes in our bookshelf. God. So yes, I know how thick they are.
They are so good, and I can't wait to cover them for the show. But and like they're amazing. And I have theories about it. But and I'm so just dying to talk about my theories with you. But the books are so fucking long.
I'm just worried about starting something that also is not finished when I'm already waiting on something else that's totally not finished.
what is that now that you're...
Oh, yeah, I think still Game of Thrones. I want him to finish that. I want him to finish A Song of Ice and Fire so that, you know, I can see how he envisioned his ending.
Yeah, I'm wildly curious myself.
Yes. And he keeps saying like, oh no, things are going to be a little bit different or I've changed a couple things or I'm not going to end it the same way. I'm like, okay, well then, please.
In my version, everybody's naked. Screw you. I'm George R. R. Martin, bitch. That was the last line. Who would have thought?
It did end. It just like, it's like so like kind of fades to black in the book version that says, I'm George R. R. Martin, bitch. It doesn't even end.
Use your own goddamn imagination.
Your theories on the wiki have been a lot better than my ideas. Go with one of those.
You think you're so good? You think it's so easy? But yeah, so when and if you look it up, there are, as Jane was saying, a lot of different versions. There's the Netflix show, a series. There's another movie. There's actually two other movies. So and actually, I think there are two shows. There's a show in the 90s, and then there's the current show on Netflix, and then there's another movie. Yeah.
But, I do think. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was thinking that as I was watching this movie and knowing that there was a book, I felt like there was stuff in there where I'm like, there's probably something in here that would make more of a sense as a series. And when I saw how my books were written and everything, I was like, I have a feeling this probably would make a better series. Like, say, Sandman makes a better series than a movie, which was what the original idea was. Wait. Thank you for deciding to do series instead.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad that they're not doing the movie.
But, that's not what we're talking. That's a later podcast episode. That's one I'm looking forward to.
Talking gaming.
Gabbing with Gaiman.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. There, Gaiman Gab.
You're welcome.
Yes!
There you go. Okay, all right, you're ready to hire us? Anybody ready to hire us now? We'll Max name your fun. Podcast for a fee. Sup?
We are on it. It's like my podcast idea where we were going to talk, like going to go through all of John Saxon's work and call it like Hot Sax.
Yes, I agree. That's good.
Yes. Oh, but anywho, yeah. So you want to make sure that you are looking for the 1986 movie of the Worst Witch. Or you can always look it up by the stars. In this features. One Tim Curry. And once again, we have another witchy movie with Feruza Balk.
Mm-hmm.
Hot diggity damn.
And for those of you who don't remember, Nancy from The Craft.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to take pictures. I just got a Funko of Nancy from The Craft.
Oh, okay.
I'm so happy. I'm so hippie. But yeah, this was based on the Worst Witch book series by Jill Murphy. And it originally aired on HBO, and they would show it like once a year, every year for a while there. Also, it aired on Central Independent Television. I don't know how, but that ends up being ITV.
Sure.
Yeah. Central the Independent C is Television. Silent.
And I'm thinking like, okay.
But it was filmed in England because I think it's supposed to take place in England.
Accents tell me differently is all I'm going to say.
It is so weird. Okay, so it was filmed at St. Michael's College in Tenbury Wells, England. And it's, let me see, I took note of it. It was I should say this properly. Before there was Harry Potter. Before the books of magic. There was Miss Cackle's International Academy for Witches, founded 1604. What I love is that it's the International Academy for Witches, filmed in England, and everybody seems to have some sort of like European accent, except for Fergusa Balk, who has a very much Canadian accent. She's the only Canadian there. I know she was born in the States, but she, I believe at the age of two, she moved to Canada and lived there for an indeterminate amount of time. But you could tell that she is Canadian because she says, sorry. It makes my Canadian siren go off. My Canadian detector. Sorry. I love you Canadians. Please don't get me wrong. But yeah, they all seem to have like some sort of like a British accent except for her. She's the only non-Brit there.
Well, I would argue also Charlotte Ray, who plays Miss Cackle.
Oh my God.
Yes. She was born in Wisconsin, first off, because I was trying to figure out. So, and totally fine as Miss Cackle. It's when she switches over to her evil sister, where I actually had to pause the movie and re-listen, because you have this really weird mixture of Southern with a Cajun twang, was what I came up with as I was listening to her accent. And then I can't remember the name of her little sidekick actress, but she reminded me of the yippy dog from Looney Tunes with an English accent. You know, the little like dog that like the little yippy dog that follows the big, huge like bulldog. I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Do you want to go there? That's what it reminded me of. I was like, this is the yippy dog from Looney Tunes.
God, that is so, so spot on.
I was like watching, going like, okay, I have an image now.
But yeah, for those of you who have watched it and can follow along, Charlotte Ray plays Miss Cackle, and as well as her wicked twin sister Agatha or Aggie, and like you probably recognize her as Edna Garrett or Miss Garrett in Facts of Life. Hell yeah. Sorry, that was a good deal of my childhood right there. Facts of Life, all about you. But
I was gonna say, not me.
One of us just turned 40. Guess who it is?
I'm just like, what are we talking about? I know it existed as a show, but
I know it as a concept. But yeah, so she, I have in my notes, like, why does Miss Cackle's wicked twin sister have the accent of a Southern belle? Yes. She is trying to hitch a ride to Alabama at the end, though. So my
Cajun twain might have come close also. Because I got a little bit of Cajun in there when she spoke. I was like, at first it was Southern, then started to go a little bit into Cajun, then went back up to Southern. I was like, okay, there is something happening here, and I don't know what it is.
Like, maybe they were raised in two different households? Like, maybe there's a reason she's a wicked sister, because she was like, our parents kept her.
Like, this was part of one of those really horrible twin experiments. Yeah. one of those evil psychological twin experiments.
Nature with, like, well, or nurture. We have
the same thing. We're going to lock one in a box and we're going to love the other one. Let's see what happens. They all develop Cajun accents for some reason in the box. I don't know.
The one in the box ended up being the good one.
That's the one we locked in the attic.
She's out now and leading a school. Oh, God, no. Do not engage. Do not engage.
The children are lost. The children are lost.
We're just going to have to blow up the institute.
Just barricade it. Don't listen to their screams, guys. Don't listen to their screams.
So, yes, if you haven't seen it, Mildred, played by Farusa Balk, is in an academy for witches, and she is quite possibly the worst witch.
She's more clumsy. Like, before she even started doing magic, it's like she was late and she just ran to her friends. Like, it's not really being a bad witch, it's just being clumsy and forgetful.
Yeah.
It's not like she's walking around like cursing everybody. It's like la 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 la.
Well, she did have turn the school bully into a pig.
Instead of a frog.
So Malfoy.
I actually called this pre-Hogwarts at one point, just because it really did have like all the makings of the inspiration for the characters of Hogwarts. Like, the one I couldn't put down was Hardbroom, played by Diana Rigg, as like, were you supposed to be the inspiration for Snape or McGonagall? I'm not sure.
I thought it was a good like mix between.
Yeah.
And if you can, it's so old by now, but it's still fucking hilarious. There's a commentary track you can listen to while you're watching Harry Potter. You just listen to it over the movie, and it's called Wizards, Dear Friend. And it's narrated by, it's just the story, but narrated by a guy who has no idea what's going on. and he calls, at one point he calls McGonagall Hardcastle McCormick. So I kept thinking about that, like, old Hardcastle McCormick. But really, it's, oh my God, I fucking love, what's it? I think it was, Wizards, Dear Friends or Dear Listeners, something like that. But it's, oh my God, it's so goddamn hilarious. And I think he called Ron Weasley, Ron the Bear Weasley. Also, for a while, I was calling Donnie Don the Bear. But, anywho.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's clumsy. I mean, she does screw up, obviously, the spell. She turns evil Ethel into a pig versus a frog. Or so I'm like, to be fair, you still turned her into something. And
yeah,
my assumption as being a bad witch was that you just couldn't do anything. And even like when she does her potion, it's like her and her partner screwed up and they all put it on Mildred. And it's like,
yes.
It's like, but neither of them could remember what this potion was. I'm like, Why is she getting all the hate?
But I think what happened was it went wrong because Mildred grabbed the pond weed after midnight. Stupid.
Well,
bitch.
Yeah, but even Maud will like sit there going like, okay, well, which one is it? I think it's this. It's like, no, it's this. It's like, neither of you know. Okay, stop pretending that Maud somehow is the magical one who knows.
Well, Maud was about to cheat with having the textbook there, and God, there's just so many parts where it's like, oh, this is proto, like you were saying, pre-Hogwarts. It is like, there are a lot of similarities, but in that part, I was thinking like, it's during potions class and here comes Snape.
They have one teacher, it feels like, though, for all the lessons, for all the main lessons.
Yeah, and then they have the one professor that teaches them about how to ride with brooms, and very poorly.
Well, yeah, she rides around in like a red cape and puts some goggles on, and she's like, it's like this. It's like,
it's okay. Easy. But like in both schools, in Hogwarts and in Miss Cackle's Institute, I feel like there are no fucks given for student safety. It just is absolutely zero fucks. They do not care.
The fact that she makes, when Mildred turns Ethel into the pig, it's like, no, you have to reverse this. It's like, I mean, Ethel's a bitch, but Jesus Christ, it's like, this could go horribly wrong.
I know. Like, you sure you don't want to have a professor like keep watch over this the whole situation? You're just gonna trust Mildred with this? Okay, cool.
The one you just called the worst witch.
Yes. All the like. Okay, so Professor Hardbroom. I wanted to call her Hardcastle. Damn it. Miss Cackles, like they all make it a point to tell her, like, and this is her first fucking year, and they all make it a point to tell them that she or her that she is the worst witch there, like in the entire school.
Well, Hardbroom says it in a real way, whereas Miss Cackle, it almost seems like she's just kind of saying it to be like, I know, now here's a toffee and go back to your studies and focus more. It's like, okay, Dumbledore, whatever.
True, but she does flat out tell her she may be the worst in the school. And I started giggling around like the second rewatch where I was just like, you stupid bitch. No, we don't want you flying, you stupid bitch. You suck. You're some special kind of dumb. Poor Mildred. They're all not her, but Hardbroom and Ethel, proto Malfoy, they're both like such bitches to her. And then later on, Hardbroom, like, okay, so at one point Mildred has been practicing her flying, her broomstick flying, and she gets good. And they're auditioning for we're gonna have to get into that. Do not think I'm skipping Tim Curry's
I was gonna
part.
Say you are skipping a lot right now, and I have some other comments to make about other things.
But at one point, like, they're auditioning for the witches to fly in this broomstick formation, whatever.
Dance.
Yeah, and Hardbroom, or as they call her, HB, she sees Mildred, and but she can't tell who she is because she has her back turned towards her, and she says something like, "That's some excellent flying. That's some great flying." And then she sees that it's Mildred and gives her a score out of 4 out of 10.
After, yeah, where like, she gave others like a 7 out of 10 or something. Yes.
And she gave like the kiss ass Malfoy character a 10 out of 10. Yes. And so it's just like later on she says, "Well, I was just being hard on you because I knew that you were capable of more." And I'm like, "The fuck you were."
She just leaned down to Mildred and said, "It was me." The actress who played her is Diana Rigg. So if you don't remember that is, that is the, oh my God, why did my brain
I have it.
Break?
Thank I have you. A like, lot of stuff on her.
Oh, of course we all have a lot of stuff on her.
Well, I mean, if you don't mind going over to the research for a moment.
I will in 1 second. Olena Tyrell. I wanted to get the name right because there's like a couple of O's in that family that I want to not screw up on. Yeah, she plays the one who poisons Joffrey. So yes, I really like, and I saw that she was acting this. I was like, I know it's later on in your career, but goddamn, that was a brilliant line.
I fucking love her so much as Lady Olena Tyrell.
Oh yeah,
that matriarch of House Tyrell.
Oh, and she was brilliant. She was exactly how I pictured her in the books. Like that was like, okay, mwah, perfect. Chef's kiss, perfect choice on that one.
Others, she was my favorite character in all of that, and. Oh, God, I fucking loved her.
But oh, and how long she lasted was exactly how long, you know, she deserved to last. Like, I was not surprised. By the way, also, spoilers to that, if you haven't seen the ending, for God's sake. That's what sakes.
I was thinking. Like, when she dies, I'm just like, no!
I was expecting. Whether it happens in the books or not, honestly, like, that was very fitting how it all happened, because that was, she went out on her own terms even then, even though like, you know, even though she's basically being forced to, it's like, she still is just like, yeah, guess what? I did
such
it.
Such a badass.
That and was I, so honestly, awesome.
I didn't know that was her until I was doing the research and I was like, oh shit. Like, no wonder she's always looked familiar to me. Because, like, I watched this when I was a kid. My Donnie and I fucking loved this movie. But, it's Dame Diana Rigg. She played a Lady Olena. And she also played the Duchess of, Buchlo and Victoria.
Yes.
Nailed it. She played Mrs. Gillyflower in Doctor Who, the Doctor Who episode, The Crimson Horror, which also featured her daughter, Rachel Sterling. She played Mrs. Pumphrey in one of my favorite new shows, or new to me, All Creatures Great and Small, the newest one. She was also in, I'm sure this is going to be your favorite now, she played Lady Holiday in The Great Muppet Caper.
You got the Muppet reference before me.
For once. I beat you to it.
But, I mean, to be fair, I was going to make a different Muppet reference because it's a much more obvious one. But yes, we'll talk about that one later because we're going to go into that a lot.
Excellent.
But, yes.
The
I would think Emma Peel would be the most the one that most people because it was made in the 1960s.
Yeah.
But that's where she got her name, was in the Avengers, not the Marvel one.
the series, the Avengers, very British. How now, brown cow? I never really watched it, but it was one of those things that like I don't know. Like, I think it's from years of watching Nick at Night. It was kind of like references to it were unavoidable.
So I feel as it's like the facts of life. I know of its existence. Yeah. I have no idea about anything else about it.
Well, I didn't honestly watch a lot of it, but I caught episodes here and there. And it's enough so that whenever I'm talking to my girl kitties, I can't help it. I go, girls, girls. But yeah, in June of 1994, Queen Elizabeth II made her Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire. Or if I say it like Professor Hardbroom, the British Empire. She rolled her R's like nobody's fucking business.
Oh, yeah.
And I fucking love this. She collected negative reviews throughout her life as a performer and published it in 1982 under the title No Turn Unstoned. Because apparently she got like a really, really shitty review for, she did a lot of theater. And for one of them, for which she was one of the first major actors to get all nudie on the stage. And it was that one, and she got a shitty review for it. And ever since then, she just started collecting negative reviews. And I'm like, what a fucking badass move. I love it. And then to publish it and like say this, here are all the shit reviews on me and my work. What a badass move. But unfortunately, we lost her to lung cancer last year on September 10th, and she was 82 years old. And in her day, she was a total fucking smoke show.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always, I remember like just looking back at photos of some of these older, that we only know as like, you know, these older lady actresses and look at them when they were younger. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah. And of course, like I wasn't going to think of her that way when, you know, I was younger because like, you know, it's just this little girl watching Worst Witch. I wasn't going to be like, ooh, check out that hot
chick. She wasn't exactly trying to be, as you say, a smoke show either.
Yeah, not in that. But yeah, I think just like, I meant to do just a little research on her. And like, the more I learned, I was just like, oh my God, she's my hero now. Like, she's fucking amazing. But, one thing I have to say for both Charlotte Ray and Dame Diane Rigg is, so Charlotte Ray did make some questionable choices about the wicked sister. But then again, I mean, what do we know? Maybe she's that way in the book. Who knows? But
yeah, we're going to I'm going to hunt those down and make sure we can actually get those and read them. So
I actually just got the ebook version of the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll
just add that to our book pile is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, they look like short books, thankfully.
Yeah. But, no,
you got to say that they are both, especially Charlotte Ray, they are fucking doing it. They are living for that character. Like, they are giving it their all. And especially with the woman who plays the character, the sidekick, Delilah, like, she is fucking leaning into it. But then there's like this, the first musical part with the hags, the wicked witches, and there are times where like they're I don't know, sidekicks, they're minions, whatever, the other hags are in the back and they're singing and dancing for backup, and they're just like, you could tell like they were probably hired and taught this little dance, if you can call it that, like last minute. They might be related to somebody.
I actually wrote down, I feel like a judge on a singing competition is like, you all have fine voices, but your stage presence leaves much to be desired. Yes. You do not have the it factor.
Because they're all kind of like, I don't know, like maybe they've had a few too many wines and they just have no fucks left to give. I don't know.
That was their 17th take and they're just like...
Stinky. Evil. Cruel. Like, we breaking anytime soon? Don't we get a union break?
Where's craft services?
But like, in contrast, these women are fucking living their characters and I love it. I'm so here for it. But
I mean, I was disappointed the Wicked Witches weren't dancing naked in the woods, but I have to remember this is a kids movie. So, you know.
Although there is a perfect, just a small tangent. There's a perfect episode that I want everyone to see of Broad City. I have to get the name of the episode, but it fills my need for feminist witchy stuff. But I'll have to share that over the social medias, I guess. But yeah, so, okay, Mildred, that stupid bitch, she collected her pondweed after midnight, like the basic witch she is. And she just keeps telling Bod, oh, add a handful. Maybe two handfuls. I just drop the lot in.
Like, and Maud looks happy to do it. Once again, yes. I'd like to point out, it's not like Maud sitting there saying, like, maybe this isn't right. It's like, no, she's just as unprepared for this entire study as or entire test as Mildred is.
Totally.
They're just saying, like, Mildred's getting, like, the short end of the stick when it comes to, like, who are they blaming for this?
Yeah, totally. And, like, I feel like Mildred tried harder to get better and to improve. But, like, Maud, first of all, she's trying to resort to cheating because she didn't study. And, or she didn't, at least she didn't memorize the potions and, or spells. And, and Mildred says, pondweed? And she says, yes, that's it. That's right. How much? And it's like, fuck, Maud. Like, you don't know what's going in there. And, like, at least Mildred remembered that pondweed is supposed to go in there. And, like, you didn't know how much was supposed to go in there. So you can't just let Mildred take the heat for all of it.
And to be fair, she didn't exactly let her take the heat. She did try to say this, but Harbor was very much like, no, it's Mildred's fault.
Oh,
like,
that's true. Because yeah, it's a Snape Harry Potter situation.
It is.
And she probably left her mother too.
Well, I'm sure. God, I just thought about what you were referencing, like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
But, you know, they don't fuck up too badly. They end up creating, like, an invisibility spell. So I'd say, like...
Well, they're supposed to be making a laughing potion, which I actually wrote down, can't you just fake laughing?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, okay, she's... The professor is expecting you to test out your own stuff. So take a sip, and it doesn't start working. So then you start going,
I mean, it's not checking. Like any of them were like cackling hardcore, so
exactly.
Some of them were, but yeah, but not many. But and then one of them gets into it later. That's what I thought was funny. It's how like Mildred ends up on the broom dancing team. Is one of them gets too much into the laughing thing. I'm like, they have some weird ideas of what drugs are.
Dude, I actually wrote that down. Zoe Chant Vestry is in the infirmary because she's been at the laughing potion again. Again. apparently that's how you party at Miss Cackle's Institute.
Yeah, the laughing potion, she says, holding up the quotation fingers. Mm-hmm.
I got some giggle juice too.
Yeah. We all know what you mean. Yeah, I was like, why can't you just fake laugh?
And but then, like, Okay, so that's a really weird scene altogether when they're working on the laughter spells. Because, like you were saying, with turning Malfoy-esque into a pig instead of a snail, it's like, well, she still turned her, or a frog, she still turned her into something. And yeah. Not human. And I would argue that pig would probably be worse. I mean, for someone like her.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually thought, I was like, well, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. Go you.
It's like, well, that's really fitting. And then for this one, like, she, because I was thinking the same thing. Why don't they just fucking fake it? Just start giggling. But then they started turning invisible. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, I guess that would give it away.
Yeah, that's a harder one to fake.
But still, like, that's still pretty goddamn impressive, like, turning invisible for a little while. But then, okay, so they turn invisible. They're still very much there. You could see their the stools that they're on, like, kind of shaking and stuff. And I think Maud gives Malfoy-esque a kick on the ass. Like, on her way out, and she returns to her seat. But, okay, so here's my fucking question. In the next scene, right before they start reappearing, their boots are tapping around separately from their bodies?
Yes, that's what it seems to be indicating.
And she, like, the girls are like, I think Maud says, so, Are those yours or mine? And Mildred says, oh, mine are the ones with the shoelaces untied, as always. And then they get their boots back on, but they don't really go on them. They just appear.
Over the boots. As, yeah, no, it's a non-invisibility potion. They basically de-atomize themselves. They're tiny cell particles, and they have to atomize themselves.
Or, like, they turn their boots into, like, Disney boots in the process. I don't know. Like, that was just so fucking weird. I was like, wait, what? But also in that scene, I got so goddamn nervous because part of their costume for, well, their uniform for all the girls, they have a string from their sleeves where their mittens hang. Yes. And I got so nervous in the potions exam scene because they keep getting the mittens, like, because the mittens are just dangling from the strings, and they're getting, like, dangerously close to the Bunsen burners. I am thinking, like, oh my god, what happens when they set one of their mittens on fire and they can't get it off because it's attached to their shirt? And they can't get their shirt off without taking off the pinafore or whatever that they're wearing over it. Like, oh my god.
You played
god.
Out an entire scene while this movie was playing in something completely different is all I'm thinking right now.
It's just like, this is so dangerous.
You're just imagining this horrible tragedy right now while they're in the middle of handing out kittens. It's like,
I don't
oh
even
god.
Have kids.
Oh god.
Like, I have no reason to worry about these children. Like, I don't have any reason to, like, be seeing the worst case scenario for these things, but I can't help it. And because I was originally thinking, like, how do they not get their mittens in, like, the potions and stuff and the
You didn't ask for a second, why are they even wearing mittens indoors?
Well, there's that, too. Like, can't you just take them off? Because I understand, like, you know, if you're outdoors or whatever, but can't you just take them off the string of your sleeves and put them on the counter or something? For God's sake.
No, usually, like, how those things work, because we've made these before for my own kid, is it's a long string. So one goes through the armhole all the way behind your back and then out through the other armhole.
Mm.
So it's not like, you know, like they attach within the sleeve. It's actually all wrapping all the way through. That's the way they don't, that's how kids don't lose them. That's kind of the point of them. Because, and it's made for, like, you know, kids my kids' age, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, who are prone to lose things. These girls are about 10, 11, 12.
Because I thought that
are you
they
sure
just,
it's a
like...
school of witchcraft and not like a and not like a reform school of some kind?
I mean, maybe they tell send them all the that they're...
they send all the fire starters there.
Maybe it's a sucker punch scenario. maybe it is some sort of like sanitarium or. Or some sort of reform school, and some girl is just imagining all of this. Like, we're witches. Like, I'm gonna save the school by setting fire to it.
I just want to watch it burn.
Lovely cleansing fire. Oh, Lord. But yeah, that made me nervous. But
don't worry. I'm sure they're fine. I mean, honestly, like, I was just getting more annoyed at the first, actually, even like going back to the first scene just before mm-hmm. they start singing the growing up song. Because for some reason, this is like half musical, half not. Yeah. But it's this little kid's voice singing about growing up and all the girls are getting ready just before
growing
that.
Up isn't easy.
Hard Broom gets on a broomstick. Mm-hmm. Flies all the way up to the bell and starts ringing it with her wand. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, a rope would work. Like, you could just use a rope. And then it turns out, no, the rope is literally in the girl's room and anybody could have pulled that. I'm like, what the fuck was the point of that? The fuck was the point?
Because that's not as neat and magical, Jade.
I actually wrote down, now you are just showing off.
Well, I think that's the main problem of this movie is that it dates itself so horribly because it's like somebody was trying to show off by using every single possible special effect that they could.
Yeah, and then kind of forgetting about the characters that they have in the movie.
Yeah.
Like I have a question about one particular character and I want you to try to figure out which one I'm thinking of.
I have a guess.
Which one? Which one do you think was completely useless and made no sense in being in this entire picture?
Would that be the oh God, do I want to talk about that yet?
I mean, we could, because honestly, I did not see the point of this character at all. I'm sure that, like, in my mind, like, I have to read the books, because I'm sure this character plays an importance, and it was kind of like an Easter egg for those who read the books, but, like, they did not do this character justice, if that was the case.
Oh, wait, are you talking about the niece?
Yes.
Yes! Yes!
It's like, my crazy niece is coming in, she flies in, she's got, like, a red phone with a cord on it attached to her broom as if she has like a car phone attached to her broom, and you know she's supposed to be this wild and crazy person. Doesn't only appears at the end to watch the Grand Wizard and the Grand Warlock, and that's it. It's like,
yeah,
I
was thinking the same thing. I thought, like, oh, I wonder if there were scenes that were like left on the cutting room floor, if like she's this really awesome, like, Tonks sort of character in the books.
Yeah, or she's what? Like, she's some sort of mentor. She's just like, hey, you know, like, I was the shitty one at school, and now look at me. And she kind of becomes mm-hmm. like a little beacon of hope for Mildred. It's like, no, she, there's no point to her whatsoever.
And they build her up. Like, in the beginning, when she gets in with her red phone, her broom front phone, one of the girls says, who is that? Oh, that's Miss Cackle's niece, Deborah, or whatever her name is. Diana, I don't know.
Delilah or something, yeah.
No, Delilah.
Which also makes me think she's Aggie's daughter then, unless they have like another sister they don't know about, but
I was wondering about that too, because I'm
yeah, like, I thought, like, is it going to be like related to that? Is she like the spy for like her mom or something? It's like, no, there is no point to her character. I mean, she's sort of like the Chekhov's gun that never gets shot. It's like, what was your point?
Yeah, she shows up to see the Grand Wizard. Like, do you think my outfit's gonna get his attention?
And that's it. It's like, what the fuck was your point? It's like, you know, it's like there are two things that I don't always that I don't like in movies or TV shows is when you introduce somebody who, like, it might be an Easter egg, but like makes no sense to the plot. Like, you build them up as somebody, and then they just there's no payoff. Or someone that you've added in when there is a book series. When somebody you've added in that is supposed to take the place of another character, that's a lot better.
It's fine if you want to have these people, like, show up for, like, a scene or something. But, like, don't have other people talk about them. Don't build up their appearance. And, you know, like, just – it's okay if it's just, like – can you use some help? You know, like, just like a walk-on.
Yeah, I mean, if this was going to be like a series, it would have made sense to kind of be like, okay, like, side thing. Like, there's a couple of characters in like long-running movie series where it's like they don't do anything till a little bit later. It's like, but it's coming. But this is like, no, this is a one-off and there's no sense to this character whatsoever.
I'm wondering if my microphone picked up the cat EVP reading.
My cats were running around. You even commented on them, so now they're finally sleeping. So okay.
Come here, ladybug. Okay, she's being very vocal.
It's all good. But yeah, so she shows up, and they. And that's the other thing, the weird musical undertones to this. Like, there's some parts where it's like feels like a musical, and then they kind of like gave up midway through the school song, during that school song scene. It's like, okay, like this is just a traditional school song, and I know you want to write some lyrics to it, but it's okay. I would like to say something about that scene where they all get like a kitten.
Oh, yeah.
And I, like, as they're, like, pulling, like, all these girls are staying there, and as they're pulling out these kittens, I was like, okay, quick question. How many kittens are in that basket?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether to be horrified or gleeful at the idea of a kitten cuddle puddle potential right? here. I was, like, sitting there going, like, I want to lay in a room with all those kittens right now and just be like, oh, yeah, this is my favorite thing.
Like, it both stresses me out to think about it, but it also puts me in my happy place.
I know. It's just like, how do I take them all? Yes.
Like, yeah, no joke. My happy place is, like, cuddling in a field with a bunch of cats, like kittens and puppies. Oh, yeah. I'm actually going there right now, and that's nice. But can we talk about how all witches are wet for Tim Curry?
That scene made me uncomfortable. I'm sorry. Like, it's like, okay. It's like all these, like, prepubescent girls. I'm just like, there's something so creepy about this scene. I'm really uncomfortable watching this right now.
He makes me feel squishy inside.
I even wrote down, I'm like, I mean, I get Tim Curry, but these girls are young. In capital letters, young.
I actually put in my notes that they're all wet for Tim Curry, and they're just little girls. And I was like, welcome to Jane and my world. Our childhood. Oh, Frankenfurter. But honestly, though, like, okay, I have a deep and abiding love for Tim Curry, but if I were to, like, cast the hunk who everybody has such a crush for, I don't think it would be Tim Curry.
I mean, honestly, like, I every time he came on, I was like, I just see Frankenfurter. I can't help it. I literally just see Frankenfurter. Or I see him in one of my favorite Muppet movies, which is Muppet Treasure Island.
When you're a professional pirate.
I mean, I admit I love that song, but the song that lives rent-free in my head from that movie every so often is I'll just start going like, we got cabin fever.
we got
cabin fever. And all this people walk around going like, da, 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 da. Just me mumbling to myself going, da, 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 da.
Oh, man. That I haven't seen that in so long, and
I just recently rewatched it.
Oh God, I have it. I have no reason, like no good.
Oh, I have it. It's also on Disney Plus. You have no reason to not rewatch it over and over again. I turn it on when I need background noise. Even so, it just makes me happy.
Boom shakalaka,
boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka. Gonzo joins in. Boom shakalaka. Boom. That's. Oh, the weird line where he's like, this feels weird. It's like, you mean with with Sam being gone? Yeah, also I have starfish in my pants. And his eyes just go wide and Rizzo's go wide. He goes, you and your hobbies. And I'm just like, that was an adult joke right there that I missed as a kid.
I love that they fit those in there. Like watching it as an adult is like totally different from, you know, because you catch all that stuff where it's like, oh yeah, that's why mom and dad laughed so hard. Okay. Oh yeah, I finally watched Haunted Mansion.
I did. I liked it.
Oh my god, it's so good. I enjoyed it. It was so good, and I loved it so much. And it, I think Carlo put it really well when he was saying like it felt like a good old Muppets movie.
Oh yeah, and the cameos were perfectly balanced, because there's some Muppet movies that have done like overdone on like all the cameos, but these have gone like a perfect balance. They also had, well, I thought there was some great throwbacks to like old Muppet shows when they did the ballroom dancing ghost scene.
Yeah,
and it just brought back the original Muppet scene where they would actually have the ballroom dancers making like little jokes at each other and stuff. I was like, oh my god, that's amazing! Like that's like that's like a deep cut reference to the original Muppets.
Oh yeah, totally. And I loved that they still had my boys Statler and Waldorf in the ride in the little buggy.
And they even make fun of the ride whenever it has to stop because they have to let somebody off a little bit slower. It's like there's a ghoul. And everyone goes like, ah. I remember that happening when I was on the ride a couple years ago, and sometimes it will stop and you're just like looking up at the scenery. Ours stopped just as we had like turned backwards, so we're just looking at the back of the cart. We just kept hearing like a little microphone going like, there's a ghoul on the track, please stay seated.
Like, oh okay. That used to be my favorite when I lived in Southern California. Oh god, I miss that. But
we're gonna hit that one when we go to Florida, so yep.
I asked Carlo I said, are one of the reasons that you love me because your favorite character, your favorite Muppets character is Gonzo, and I'm so fucking weird, and I'm just like him without all the chicken fucking? Because you know he gets it with the chickens. Camilla, come on.
Oh yeah. No, that's kind of the point. That's why he's like, I mean, that's his girlfriend.
He's a chicken fucker.
Oh yeah. Anyway. The Muppet Haunted Mansion. Back to this movie. But yes, Tim Curry in Muppet Treasure Island is definitely like one of my favorite parts, along with obviously the, you know, ones that most people know him from, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. He's been a voice actor in so many stuff. He was a voice actor in Dinosaurs also, the TV show Dinosaurs. Yes. He did a bunch of different voices where if like you kind of listen, it's like, oh yeah, no, that's Tim Curry.
And my boss and I just talked about this recently, and I have to share his thing because he put it so perfectly. So Tim Curry's in Congo. And he chews the fuck out of the scenery in that movie. He's just like, nom, 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 nom. And my boss put it that, like, he was probably, once he realized that he was sharing the screen with a talking gorilla, he was just like, fuck this. And like, all right, you asked for Tim Curry, you're getting Tim Curry.
I feel like he does it even when he does voiceovers. Like, he was, did you all see the movie Fern Gully?
I fucking love Fern Gully.
He's Hexus. And he chews the scenery as a goddamn anime character. And he also chewed the scenery in one of my favorite Nickelodeon cartoons, the Ah Real Monsters. Like, he was the head teacher. And it's like, my God.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really watch it, but I remember seeing that he did that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was actually, it was one of those, like, really clever, one of those really clever ones, like, around the time of Rocko's Modern Life and Ren Stimpy. That one also kind of came out, and I thought it was brilliant, so.
Yeah.
Anyways,
was more into Ren Stimpy.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I get it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, it was kind of in that same vein versus, like, say, Doug or something.
Well, and once again, I feel like Tim Curry is also, he's being Tim Curry, and he is just fucking living for it, and he is into this role. And if you, oh God, okay, so he has this song, and he's still like, okay, he's not the person I would cast for Making All the Witches Wet, but when you hear his singing voice, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, I get that.
I think the comment that was made on the location in which we were able to view this totally legally was Tim Curry asked asking the director, how do you want me to play this? And the director saying, give me David Bowie. And
yes, that's Tim Curry exactly says, what I thought.
You got this. And I'm like, yep, that makes sense. After I saw the performance, I was like, yep. That was the direction.
That's totally what I thought. And, like, I was like, oh, my God, his voice sounds like he's doing David Bowie right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm here for it. But
the background scenery made me think I did not take enough shrooms for this.
Like, I am way too lucid for this. but then that's, like, I think that's the pinnacle of that, of that point I was making earlier, where it seems like they aged the fuck out of the movie by throwing every single possible special effect that they could.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't help connect the show.
And if you, okay, so I'm sure most of you have seen the video or heard the song, probably both, of anything can happen on Halloween. And it's fucking fantastic. If you have no intentions of watching the movie, at least do yourself a favor, go to our Twitter page. I just posted it today, which is October 26th, because it ain't Halloween until I see that music video. Do yourself another favor and do not pay attention to the lyrics.
Yeah, I kind of blocked those out after a bit. I was like, I had the writers.
It's so creative though. Has anybody seen my tambourine? I might just start playing Begin the Begin. What? And then, oh, this is after the line, your dentist might just turn into a queen.
Yeah, I actually, thank you. I wrote down, I actually said, did he just say my dentist could turn into a queen? And I said, and I wrote, I kind of had my train of thought went, what if my dentist already is a queen? Just not the one you're thinking of. Exactly. He could have hobbies. You don't know.
You don't know. Shame on you. Shame on you, Grand Wizard. But yeah, also there's a line in there about gremlins with cassettes from London to Ohio or something. Or Idaho.
Well, then the image shows a cassette in the background at some point.
Just with his face on both. Yes,
oh, and everybody cassette. Else who doesn't know, a cassette was how we used to listen to music. It was before the CD. Ooh. It was a little plastic thing that you had to sometimes wind up and back because the little reel of music would come out because somebody was a dick
and unwound it. You had to get a pencil Twirl the pencil in there. Oh, yeah. They also had a whole video cassette. Our age
remembering that and having conniptions. Yes. I'm having post-traumatic stress from that.
Back in the day where you had to listen to something called the radio, and you had to keep calling the station to get them to play your song that you wanted to hear, and then you could record it. On one they never of these answered
my call.
Oh man, yeah, but they also have a video cassette with his face on both sides. And yes, then again, for the younger folk who never had the joy of a VHS video cassette. Much like the sound cassettes, we had something for the VCRs before there were discs.
I think now we're just getting patronizing.
Or streaming. Back in my day, we had to fix the tracking and we were grateful.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that dial. I said, yeah. Oh, yeah, that.
And we had UHF.
Speaking of Tim Curry flying in, so I have a couple questions about his character. First off, how he flies in. He doesn't fly in on a broom. I actually, when he came in, I was like, oh, my God, he's a butterfly.
He's a beautiful butterfly.
My God, is that a cloak and a half? Princess Diana's wedding train veil was not as long as his goddamn cloak as a butterfly.
Oh, but if it hadn't been so long, then he wouldn't be able to do the dance music for the music video.
Yes.
He says, and, like, your sister might, or was it your dog might turn into a cat and your sister might turn into a bat and or something like that. And
there was a rhyming couplet there that, yeah, it's,
but he I can't remember exactly. But he shows the cat, a video of the cat and a video of the sister on the other side of his cape.
Would have been weird it's if fantastic. It was a picture of my sister. Is that where we get freaked out? As you said, they go, I don't even have a sister.
Yeah. That bitch is dead to us.
Well, then I have another question just about the whole thing. Because you said, like, all the girls are, like, you know, swooning over the picture of Tim Curry as the grand warlock. Are there other warlocks, or is this like a lion pride? Because they don't talk about a school for warlocks. They just have a school for female witches.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. No man witches. Yeah, no man witches. What the fuck? What's up with that? No wonder the girls keep getting on the laughing potion. Oh, yeah. They must have some sort of, like, warlocks, what do you call it?
Academy.
Boarding school.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Because, sure. Like, I mean, that, or it's just another goddamn example of the goddamn patriarchy bringing us witches down.
Or the grand warlock drowns all the baby boys born so he will never be usurped.
I mean, you could have a
I come with some theories that get really dark soon.
Or maybe, you know, you don't see them, but he's got, like, the proud boy warlocks, like Father Blackwood. Who knows? Which I cannot wait to get back into.
Oh, yes.
I really want to find out what happens.
I'm surprised you haven't, like, started just watch without saying anything.
I really want to, but I want to capture my initial reactions and feelings. But
it's all good.
Yeah, so she's the worst witch. She's really clumsy, but she's trying, And of course, you've got like the school bully there. What's her name? Ethel Hallows. And she comes, much like Malfoy, she comes from a long line of promising witches. And
as Miss Hardbroom says,
yes, like, she'll be just like her sisters. And
yes, she's going to be Dick the best and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's. And when Mildred gets on the team, she had earlier broke her broom because things went awry and during a flying lesson. So they have her get a new one, and Ethel gives her her secondary broom because the one that Mildred has is the only one she has. And of course, Ethel, you know, tells the broom to basically destroy Mildred's dance and everything, which again, scenes that I feel were cut from the movie were when Miss Cackle's cat sees Ethel cursing the broom to destroy Mildred, hisses, and Ethel looks at the cat and says, like, oh, so it's like, does it's I mean, the cat me clearly can
stupid or something like that.
Yeah, and clearly the cat sees that Ethel's being a bitch. It's like, well, can the cat tell Miss Cackle that, you know, hey, by the way, j'accuse Ethel.
But I thought that that was Ethel's cat or kitten.
No, it looked bigger. It looked like Miss Cackle's cat. That's what I thought it was. I mean, maybe it was Ethel's, but I just assumed that because it was, it didn't look like a small kitten to me. And I've been living with small kittens. I just assumed it was the bigger version of a black cat.
At first, I was kind of like living for her bitch character. But then she started insulting Mildred's kitten and was like, oh, the a little bitch tabby to that cat.
That's so cute.
Yes. And I was just like, no, bitch, you're done. Like, kick her ass, Mildred. Like, turn her into a fucking pig again and have bacon. Because, like, I am done with her.
And, of course, the broom dance, like, you know, Mildred's doing her best and Ethel ruins it while the grand warlock is watching. And what does he say? Because I know you want to hold on to this line when it all fails, and he looks bored in general watching this.
Yes. After like a sort of confusing moment where he's kind of being sexy with Hard Broom.
Kind of.
I can't wait to see. Like, are these your girls?
Lion pride. That's all I'm guessing. Lion pride.
I guess, but he talks about how, oh, if this is the future of wizards, he weeps for the future generation, something like that. But he has this line that makes me laugh or at least giggle every time I hear it. So I gotta share it. Hold on.
I've got a split. I've got another gig.
I thoroughly believe he is off to the mansion to go and hang out with Brad and Janet at that point.
He's like, I got a couple to break in.
I've got a creature.
Oh, great Scott. Yeah, Janet. Back in my day, I used to play Janet and Magenta for like a good couple of years with a local troupe. But it was kind of confusing sometimes when people would see me out in the world, like outside of the context of Rocky Horror, and they'd be like, oh, why does she look so familiar? Oh, slut! Excuse me.
I like how that's how it goes.
Because that's what you yell out at Susan Sarandon's character, at Janet. Slut. Like, okay. Then it was even more confusing because I was dating the guy who would play Brad and he was asshole. So I'd be like, slut, asshole. Fuck
Thank you.
You. like, oh, hey, haha, yeah, that's us. Oh, good times. But I don't know. It's definitely an experience. And I would highly recommend it, but I mean, I saw it as a kid, so Donnie yeah. and I are kind of, you know, a little biased.
Yeah, I just feel like it leaves so, like, there must have been either stuff on the cutting room floor or they just cut it down for time. I'm not sure. Like, there's, like, I just got to talk about this one extra scene is when the whole show gets ruined and Mildred is blamed and sent to bed without supper. She runs away with her little cute tabby cat in her satchel. And she sees Agatha and the other witches of the woods plotting. And she lands, she stops. And what's really funny is, for me, at least for, is when they all, one of them pauses, like after pause, she looks around. All I can think is, I smell children. And then they see her and they start like trying to shoot her with magic and nothing's hitting, but like stuff is exploding around Mildred. And all I'm thinking is, there are those who call me Tim. Tim the Enchanter from Monty Python's Holy Grail. I was like, stuff is exploding. He's like just setting random rocks on fire.
And of course, Acme. I was so excited because we had, at my last job, they created a bot while I was working there. And I got them to name it Tim. They were looking for names. And oh, that's right. They ended up, it was a system that they were trying to name. They were trying to come up with some like name for the system, not like a human name, but everybody's saying, well, why don't we call it, you know, blah, 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 these long names. And I was like, Tim. and they did it. And it was so fantastic and made me so happy. I was like, that's my legacy. My legacy is Tim.
Tim goes on to murder a school of whole school.
And my heart would fill with joy every time my coworker Michael would say, as Linda named Tim. Our system is Linda named Tim. Like, yes.
Oh, and of course they also throw an Acme Spell Company, which is after Mildred turns them into snails, all the bad witches into snails. And
because the witches, their plan is, okay, so it's the
plan they never even have to do anything with.
Anything with. It's Miss Cackle's wicked twin sister, who was apparently raised in a box in Alabama. She wants to, it sounds like she used to run the school because she had a school song.
She used to complain about when the girls were singing the school song, how they ruined her school song or something.
And the school song is fucking amazing, by the way.
Sure. Those are words.
Amazing. And oh my god, I should have the lines somewhere. So if you're filthy, smelly, evil, wicked, and cruel.
Oh, the song she's singing. Yes.
That's their school song, or her school song. But
yeah.
Or no, I think it's if you're filthy, smelly. I love smelly.
Well, this is when they're all like, you know, kind of mime or sleepwalking through their parts. So, yes.
Yes. Waiting for their union break. it sounds like she wants to take the school back. And because the whole song, like her school song is like, so if you're filthy, smelly, evil, wicked, and cruel, you'll be long in my little school. And so they talk about like taking it over and like turning everyone, including the children, all the little girls, into snails. And instead, Mildred's like running away with her kitten, and she just happens upon them. And as Jane said, turns them into snails.
Yep, it puts them in the Acme Spell Company box.
Yes. And then brings them to the to Miss Cackles, and that's about when Professor Hardbroom's like, I was only hard on you because I knew that you were capable of so much more. I'm like, fuck you. Get this fuck out of here. This
is
me covering
my ass is what it sounds like.
Like the fuck you did. Oh, but yeah. So she's probably like kissing up to her because she's thinking like, oh, you could be my boss someday.
Well, also because the Grand Warlock comes back and yes. is like, yes, Mildred, would you like to come flying with me?
And yes. Like, he says, he says something like, oh, once in a purple moon, a witch is born or something like a witch with an incredibly powerful witch. Is born, but may not be recognized for it because she's a little out of step. And he tells her that he's watched her her time at the school, which I don't know if he looked at the pensive or if he's just been like creepy watching at her. In which case, like, you didn't notice the spell, the curse on the broom? What the fuck, man? But he says, like, you know, I've seen how your so-called friends can, you know, treat you, and, you know, basically shames Ethel, and basically says, like, I know you've worked really hard and that you're just a victim of circumstance, and how Ethel basically fucked you over. And then he says, so, what are you doing, next? And she says, oh, well, I guess I better work on my flying. And he says, would you like to practice with me? With you?
And he opens up his big butterfly cape and she grabs onto his side and they fly off together into the sunset.
All Falcor, like, yeah! And then you see the wicked, evil twin sister, Aggie, or Agnes,
and
whatever.
And her yippee dog, witch, and Delilah.
With a sign where they're trying to hitch a ride to Alabama.
Yep, back to their weird accent roots.
And apparently they can't afford brooms or something, I don't know. They have to walk everywhere. Oh, they have to get they have to wait for a warlock with a gigantic cape to come along. Hey, man, you going my way? We put out.
Sorry.
No, quite all right.
Just making my own songs in my head. Just go like, yeah, yeah.
Really quickly, the director, Robert Young, also directed a story for Hammer House of Horror called Charlie Boy. He also directed the movie Splitting Hairs with, Splitting Airs with Eric Idle and Rick Moranis. It's been so long since I've seen that. I can like barely remember the plot. And even at that, I think I'm mixing it up a little bit with King Ralph. he also directed the miniseries The Infinite Worlds of H.G. Wells and the film Ghost Ship, a.k.a. Curse of the Phoenix, in 2014. I believe that's the last thing he's worked on,
Oh, 2014 Ghost Ship. Okay, I was thinking of a different
one.
Yeah,
it's not the Ghost Ship you're thinking of.
Okay, because I was going to say, really? Yeah.
Because I was thinking, movie. He did Ghost Ship? And then I looked at it, and then it's like, the link, at first I thought it was the wrong link, but because it says Curse of the Phoenix, and then, like, one of the pictures is for Ghost Ship, and I'm like, fuck me, like, okay.
That was not a good movie.
No.
Ghost then, Ship. No, I don't know about I don't know about the Phoenix one. I'm just saying Ghost Ship. That's what I'm like, really? Oh my god.
I hate to say it, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it was probably better than his. And then finally the writer, not the writer of the book series, but the person who adapted it for screenplay, Mary Plachette Willis. She wrote 2 episodes of The Babysitter's Club. And now this is really going to age me. Maybe you. I think maybe you.
Like, you're just like, you're hopeful. You're like, maybe
I
you.
Am hoping.
Please let it be you also.
This was also in 1986. It was an ABC after school special. Oh, yes. Called Wanted, the Perfect Guy.
Nope, it's just aging you.
Damn it. You didn't see any of the after school specials? Oh.
No, I was watching cable.
Yes, the after school specials were something magical. They always were on air after school. And
hence the name.
Oh my god, they were so amazing, because it would always be about, like, how you should just say no to drugs, or Jimmy is the most popular kid in school, he's the quarterback, he's a real hot shot, but oh no, he's getting into steroids. And you shouldn't drink and drive. And come on.
You have some memories here. Like, the best I can remember are the short little commercials or things that they did after TV shows. That's the best I can do. And they're like, really, like, a minute long.
Little PSAs.
No, yes, those
these
PSAs.
These were, like, they were fucking terrible. And they were kind of magical in their terribleness. But it's the kind of video that they made you watch during school. Like, dare to say no to drugs. And, like, hey, come on, Katie, why don't you do some pot with us? Like, why don't you smoke some of the marijuana with us? You'll be cool. Like, I don't know, guys. I don't smoke the devil's weed.
Like, I feel like I saw those in school.
Yeah, it's pretty much after school special. But yeah, so there's my my aging episode.
She just had a birthday, guys. Give her a break.
Yeah, come on, man. I'm getting old and feeble.
I'm sitting here like, yep, I'm a young 37.
Okay, I'm not getting old and feeble. I'm getting older and feebler.
But, I'm spry.
One more thing I have to talk about before we go, and that is, I fucking love the fact that her cat has lines.
Yes. Oh, God, meow, yes, meow. It does.
Meow, meow, meow.
Like, sorry, this kitten is he isn't black, or he was this something like he your kid
he's not
he's not black or something, and it goes meow meow or meow, and she's like, oh, excuse me, she. Oh my god, she's talking to the cat now. Meow meow. Like, especially when the cat goes on the broomstick with her.
Oh, like, yes.
It's so vocal. It's like, meow. Meow, meow.
We gotta run away, Tabby. Meow, 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 meow. I know, Tabby, but we can't stay here. Meow, I know.
And the awesome thing, listeners, is
she sounds like what happens when I talk to my cats.
And now I talk to my fur babies. But if you haven't seen the movie and you have no wish to see the movie, we we are not, like, we're not making impersonations of a cat actually meowing. This is actually how it went.
Yes. Like
somebody going, meow, meow.
Somebody had a mic and gave them meows. That cat meows.
I think even the snails made noises. Yeah, it was, I mean, I know it's a kid's movie, but it is pretty goddamn ridiculous. And that's part of the reason I love it. And Donnie told me that if she being you, hates the movie, remind her anything can happen on Halloween and I will find a tambourine. Thank you, Donnie.
But, if a tambourine gets mailed to my house.
I just changed one line from the song, the Evil Twins song, and okay, it's a so if you're weird, cheesy, awkward, sexy, and lewd, you'll be right at home in our cult. Wait, it's not a cult.
I think we found the theme song for Patreon only cult episodes.
But yeah, I guess we should probably let the listeners go and probably let me go to bed.
Same. Same.
So with that, oh right, I have a whole thing I do.
Please. Yes, you do. You are busy.
Listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bednubs and Broomflix on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser, especially on Apple Podcasts, because it helps other people find us. It helps boost us up in the list, so it makes it easier for other people to find us. And if you enjoy our show, please let other people know about it. Spread the word. Spread the gospel. We're going to get our Patreon up soon, and you can become, our sewer sibs for life. And, Jesus, how could I forget? Happy second anniversary to us at Broomflix.
I know. Yay! Happy birthday, honey.
2 years, the terrible
happy birthday,
twos.
Happy anniversary, I meant. Yeah, both happy of those. They have around your birthday. So I only got you one present.
I got you a Tim Curry movie.
I thought you were going to say you got me a tambourine. No.
So, yeah. So, please. I mean, you can't just, like, have us celebrate without a presence, right? Help support us, please. And at least, you know, if you can't give, I totally get it. If you could just spread the word and help other people find us, that would be pretty goddamn amazing. Remember, you can find Bednubs and Broomflix on Facebook and on Instagram and Twitter, especially on Twitter, because I've been real slack ass on Instagram and Facebook. But you can find
us. We're just not picture takers. It's okay.
Well, and I'm just so goddamn busy. I'm just burying myself in shit to do. But you can find us at Broomflix. That's BROOMFLICKS. You know we're enjoyable because we got the licks at the end. And you can write to us at broomflix@gmail.com. We love correspondence. And also check out our show's website at bednubsandbroomflix.com. It's spelled just like the movie, but of course with broom flicks instead of broomsticks. And that's BEDKNOBS and broom flicks. There you can also check out Videorama and Cage's Kiss. You can find me on the amazing podcast that covers specific movie themes, Videorama. Also, you could check me out in the second season of the podcast sitcom Four is a Crowd, where I play Mrs. Halverson. Jane, where can the people find you?
Please stop triggering my drop dead gorgeous Minnesota.
Just in your mouth, you get a treat.
You can find me slowly rebuilding the Disney Magic Castle out of Legos.
Out of the ashes from Miss Cackle's Institute.
there's a Lego set. There's a humongous Lego set that is the Disney Magic Castle.
Yeah,
I'm done with tax season. I have a special present.
This is your present for yourself.
Oh, yes. Bag one is 4 bags.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes, I'm on bag 3. It's three nights. I'm having so much fun. I am. I'm actually having a lot of fun. I just finished our Game of Thrones three-dimensional puzzle of Essos. So we've been doing that. And now I'm working on a Lego, and we're going to need another puzzle soon. So, yes.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, this is for one thing. I'm actually serious on what I'm doing versus some of the other weird stuff I talk about doing.
I'll send you my Nicolas Cage Mandy Cheddar Goblin puzzle.
That's okay. I don't need any presents.
It's okay. I'll send it to you. I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Redwire Blackwire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
And you can catch us on our next episode, where we will, as Linda alluded to, going back to the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, starting with season 2, which I can't wait because I have, of course, already watched all the seasons, and I'm trying really, 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 really hard not to spoil anything for Linda. So the more I can, the sooner we get back into this, the better everything will be. And yes, I haven't, for those who have watched the whole series, I have not talked at all about the last season. I have been very, very cautious to say anything or reveal anything.
Yay.
But as some of you know, she is going to be on Riverdale.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm
still not going to get back into Riverdale. It's not happening.
I'm going to have to catch up on the seasons to figure out how she gets into Riverdale. And I can't wait to figure out that.
I got a split. I have another gig.
But are you leaving your knob behind?
And until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
It's sprouting wings like a butterfly flying away.
Goodbye, knob. Goodbye. It's the grand knob. Tim Curry in his greatest role yet. The grand knob.
Tim Curry is the grand knob. Damn it.
I finally realized how we're going to make our millions.
We love you, Tim Curry.
We love you. Sorry.
Even my cat rejected that. She just knocked something off my desk.
Oh, excellent.